And today's lesson is from Judges 16, beginning at the 16th verse, the account of Samson and Delilah. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day, urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I am a Nazarite from God, from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah heard this, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, and saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Judges chapter 16, verses 23 through 31. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god. For they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country who has killed many of us." And when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call Samson that he may entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called upon the Lord, to the Lord, and said, "O Lord God, please remember me, and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." And Samson grasped the 2 middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house full fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. Then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him with Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had judged Israel 20 years. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, I'm going to be talking about Samson and Delilah, and this is the story that I'm sure if you've ever taught Sunday school or had a little baby boy, you'll know this is the story that all little boys love to hear. The strongest man in the Bible who did wonderful feats of strength. In the children's version, the story that most of us have heard, Samson was the strongest man around Israel. He performed many feats of strength, and God gave him this ability through his uncut hair. If Samson cut his hair, then his strength was gone. Samson fell in love with Delilah, and she begged him day in and day out to tell her the secret of his strength. Finally, he gave in. And while he was sleeping, she cut his hair, he lost his strength, and she betrayed him to the Philistines. They captured him and blinded him. They chained him in a prison, and they brought him up to entertain people. And then he repented, and God allowed him to triumph over these Philistines. The story we heard as kids is a wonderful story about making vows with God and following his orders, such as when Samson took the Nazarite vows. It tells us historically what the Nazarite vows were like, vows of abstaining from wine and shaving the head. And I'm sure, like me, some other boys in my Sunday school class thought it would be great if all we had to do was never cut our hair again and we could just do whatever we wanted with our strength and we'd be stronger than the guys pumping iron at the gym. Unfortunately for everybody, the story isn't about the secrets of rock-hard abs and super strength. It has nothing to do with the physical aspects of muscular grandeur. The story is wonderfully told to emphasize the common aspect that we've been seeing through these Old Testament stories: God's grace and mercy even when we fail. Samson's story is a great story about failure. An angel appeared to Samson's mother before she was pregnant and gave her strict instructions on how her baby boy was to be raised. He gave her restrictions on his food and on his drinking and his hairstyle. He was chosen before he was born by God for a specific task: to be the beginning of Israel's delivery from the Philistines. Now, God had allowed the Philistines to harass the Israelites because of their disobedience. They had begun to fall away from God, and in order to get their attention, he allowed these Philistines to come and begin to plague them. Samson grew up and followed these prescriptions, and God began to display his strength over everyone else. Samson was great. He was able to beat any Philistine that challenged him. And later on in his life, his feats of strength became famous, including lifting the city gate over his head and carrying it up a hill. His strength led to a bit of arrogance later in life. He finally realized that God had given him a form of invincibility because of his obedience to him. His feats of strength got more and more overt, such as taking a city gate. He became very arrogant in the ways that he would go around and show his strength to everyone. He wanted everybody to know how strong he was. And he neglected to say, "It's because I'm obedient to God and God has given me this strength." And then he met Delilah. She was crafty enough to take advantage of this budding arrogance, his pride, and she began to root around for his weakness. She disguised her intentions with accusing Samson of not telling her the truth, of not trusting her, and eventually he broke. Samson gave up the gift that God had given solely to him. He finally told someone his secret, and they betrayed him to the Philistines. His pride started him on the path to giving up on his vows to God. When he woke up, his hair had been cut and the Philistines were waiting for him outside. And he was just as cocky as ever and said, "I'll go out and beat them like last time." Eventually, he got captured and they blinded him and put him in prison. God had allowed him to be taken in because of his flippancy and his pride. God calls all of us in our lives. We each have a specific task, just like Samson, that God is going to call us to. And we're called to fulfill our tasks to the best of our abilities and more with God's help. But we fail often. We're human beings that can't do everything perfectly. No matter what task God asks us to do, even when it seems as simple as not telling anybody about the secret of your God-given gift or never cutting your hair, we can drop the ball easily. I don't ever have to ask anyone here if they haven't failed. Everybody has failed. We can't do everything perfectly. Our failures sometimes feel crushing. Other times, it feels like progress. We can be depressed or excited, but usually we don't feel excited when we fail. It is said that Thomas Edison performed 50,000 experiments before he succeeded in producing a storage battery. We might assume that the famous inventor would have had some serious doubts along the way. But when asked if he ever became discouraged working so long without any results, Edison replied, "Results? Why, I know 50,000 things that are not a battery." Thomas Edison is actually the epitome of failure. We know him as this wonderful guy who invented things that we need to use every day. But it took him years and years and thousands upon thousands of tries and ideas to finally gain his fame. Samson had it good. God protected him from lions and bears and soldiers and everything that could have harmed him. God called him to be the first step in Israel's deliverance. In this story, we see God's first step to redeeming humankind from their sins. This is a foreshadowing of what Christ was about to do. The Philistines were getting scared. They were losing to Samson's strength so often that they would eventually pay to have this thorn removed from their side. They would do anything to get Samson to fail. When we fail in our lives, it can land us in some hot water. We can lose some money, or worse, we could ruin a relationship or lose a job. Our failures can affect us very, very easily. Samson would have taken Olympic gold in failure here. His failure landed him blinded, chained in a prison, grinding grain, brought up into the palace of the Philistines to entertain them, become their puppet. There was nothing more that could have been done to Samson except for if they killed him. Samson failed because of his pride and also because of his disobedience. God had given him clear instructions on what to do in his life to maintain his strength. He was the best tough guy in the neighborhood, and he wanted to prove it. He would bring himself into situations to flaunt his own skills. He finally disobeyed God when he gave up his secret. He gave up everything that made him special because he mistrusted someone with the greatest secret he had ever known or could ever hold. Disobedience and pride led to his downfall. It is the same with us every time that we fail to do what God asks us to do. We are prideful. We either neglect the task, assuming that we don't have to do it, or we decide it isn't important. Both of those are very arrogant things to say. We think we know best, and our human pride takes over. We decide whether or not God's tasks are truly for us and necessary. We take the position of God, judging whether or not we should do what he asks of us. Consequences can never be known because of our pride. Harry Houdini, the famed escape artist, issued a challenge wherever he went. He could be locked in any jail cell in the country, he claimed, and set himself free quickly and easily. Always he kept his promise when someone would challenge him. But one time, something went wrong. Houdini entered the jail cell in his street clothes, and the heavy metal doors clanged shut behind him. And he took from his belt a concealed piece of metal, very strong and flexible, and he set to work immediately. But something seemed to be unusual about this lock. For 30 minutes, he worked and got nowhere. An hour passed, and still he had not opened the door. By now, he was bathed in sweat, and he was panting in exasperation, but he still could not pick this lock. Finally, after laboring for 2 whole hours, Houdini collapsed in frustration and failure against the door he couldn't unlock. But when he fell against the door, it swung open. It had never been locked at all. He couldn't pick the lock because it wasn't locked. Houdini was lucky it was only his pride that was hurt. The only consequence of his arrogance of assuming he could get out of anywhere was carrying around a story for the rest of his life that would impact his pride and his self-image. We can sometimes be carried away by our own thoughts and ideas that we forget God. Our problems can be solved by him so easily, and we are like Samson and follow our pride rather than God. So when we hit the dirt, when God allows us to face the full force of our consequences, then what? Do we resign ourselves to the failure, gripe and stew in these problems and the fact that we let God down, let ourselves down, or maybe left others down? What about the grace of God that I said this story was about? It doesn't seem very gracious of God to allow this to happen to Samson. But here's the encouraging part of this story. Samson's story is not just about failure and disobedience and not cutting our hair. God gave us this story to show us his grace and his plans for our life. Samson managed to make a royal mess of his own situation. He was tied up and blinded. He was hurt, had lost his pride, and was completely destroyed. It seemed like that once godly Samson had finally disappeared into this pitiful man. God didn't leave Samson to dry out over the flames. He was at the lowest point in his life, and God finally came to his rescue. How? Because Samson repented. God had a plan for Samson that probably didn't include him dying in a Philistine palace by collapsing the pillars on everyone, including himself. When Samson came to the realization that he had wronged God and himself by his pride and disobedience, he repented. He asked God to continue out his plan of deliverance for Israel by granting him strength for one last time. God did complete his original purpose for the Philistines, even though Samson had failed. He disobeyed. God had to resort to plan B for Samson, but the ultimate goal for deliverance was carried out. God picks us up when we fall. Even when we are disobedient, God has plans for us that cannot be foiled, even by our own mistakes. Sometimes we think our mistakes are the end of the road, the end of the world, and that God's just going to leave us and let us deal with it ourselves. So, when you fail and disappoint God, what do? Give up and turn around on the original road you felt him leading you down? Is it all over when you disobey him? Remember when I told you about Thomas Edison's thousands of failures at the beginning of this sermon? Well, Thomas Edison's manufacturing facilities in West Orange, New Jersey, were heavily damaged by fire one night in December 1914. Edison lost almost $1 million worth of equipment and the record of much of his work. Now, that $1 million is worth way more now than it was then. It was a ton of money. The next morning, he was walking around the charred embers of his hopes and his dreams, and the 67-year-old inventor said, "There is value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up now, and we can start anew." Even when everything was gone, the 50,000 trials of the non-battery, he looked at it and said, "I can now start anew. All these old ideas aren't hindering me anymore. I can continue down the road of invention because it is all gone, it is taken care of, and I can start fresh." Edison took this disaster and reformed it into a positive. And it's much like Christ. When Christ died on that cross for us, our mistakes, our failures, and our sins are put away. We can start anew. Just like Edison's inventions being burned up, so is our sin and our mistakes. God is with us because we believe in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Samson's story foretells the coming of Christ. We are Samson. We're proud and going on our own path, disobedient, blind, and weak. We need redemption in our failures. God redeemed Samson, and just like that, Jesus Christ came and redeemed humanity. We are saved. His plans are completely being made whole. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be free of guilt, even when we fail. God loved us even when we were still sinners, and he will come and rescue us when we fail, when we fall on our face, when we truly need God. The key to picking up the pieces when we fail is repentance. Recognizing that we have failed and that God is the only one who is going to change us and our circumstances. He can redeem us from our problems. It is actively trying to do what he wants and knowing that we need him. Like Samson, when we fail, we should call to God and say, "Give me strength one more time to complete the task that you've called me to." Christ will redeem us from our failures, just like Samson. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask that for everybody here that's failed, that faces circumstances from disobedience or failure, that you would give us strength one more time to go and complete your will, that you would bring us on the path to following you, that we would learn to repent and drop our pride and truly allow you to work in our lives. And I ask this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.